Well, the apple didn't fall far from that tree, did it? Blessings to you in your globe-trotting days just ahead. It's interesting how a song can get in our head and refuse to get out. In the past week or so, I saw a news story about some of the catchiest tunes ever written and how these are the most difficult ones to get out of your head. But an interesting thing happened to me regarding a song I had heard 30 plus years ago, and it got in my head this week, and I'm enjoying it in there for a few days. It was a song I had not thought of or had not remembered in many years. And our brain is such a great instrument God gave us that something can be filed away for decades and then it can be recalled in an instant. And such was the case with a song that the Imperials recorded many years ago. Now, the Imperials were a gospel group, but they were so great that Elvis Presley chose them to do a lot of his backup voices in his studio sessions. And one of the songs the Imperials made famous went like this: did you ever hear God speaking to you, saying, I've got a job to do, and I'll sure be needing you if it ever gets done? How powerful is that? The ability to hear God speak and in His voice discern destiny and purpose He has on our lives. Such was the testimony Gary shared. I mean, hearing God speak and purpose coming from it. Listen to those powerful lyrics. Did you ever hear God speaking to you saying, I've got a job to do and I'll sure be needing you if it ever gets done? During the month of October, the one word that described our month of services together was the word presence. We drew near to God, and He drew near to us in October. So if the word presence described our October experience, the word purpose is the word for November. We read in Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. There are a few times in life when we are changed forever in one single moment. Sometimes we are changed instantly by wonderful events. And sometimes we are changed instantly by terribly painful events that mark our life for the rest of our lives. I want to talk about your defining moment this morning. One moment that changes the course of our life. That was the experience Moses had when he heard God speak from a burning bush. It was burning on fire, but would not burn up. I was flipping through the television guide just a few days ago, and I noticed there was a television show. In fact, I think they had a marathon on. It was one right after the other for that day, and I didn't watch it, not a single minute, but the title of the show was The Lottery Changed My Life. And I thought, boy, that would really be a wonderful defining moment, wouldn't it? Just in one moment, you win the lottery and you have all this money for the rest of your life. Now, that would be a defining moment. That would be a good one, perhaps. I did hear, though, that somebody in Florence bought a winning lottery ticket. $1 million is the prize, and that happened 2 or 3 weeks ago, I believe. And to my knowledge, nobody has come forward. And so if you are here today, see me right after church. How interesting it is that in life there are a few times when in one single moment our life is forever changed, sometime for good, like the lottery changed my life. And of course, I'm joking. I don't promote the lottery. I don't buy lottery tickets. I think I've bought 20 altogether in my life. But that's just my deal. I don't judge you if you want to buy one and give it to me. It's fine. That's a positive story of a defining moment. But there are also terribly painful defining moments. I can think of no greater example of that than a young boy that I grew up with. We went to high school together, graduated in the same class at West Florence High School. We lost touch after graduation. I moved away for a while, came back. We just had not seen each other for 20 years. And then I ran into him at the Civic Center at a hockey game. And thousands of people there. And he was coming down the steps as I was going up the steps, and our eyes locked, and we realized it had been 20 years since we had seen each other, not since the day we graduated high school. And so I said to him, "Ken, how are you?" And he said, "Carl, it's good to see you. What have you been up to?" And we had just 30 seconds. Noise for a backdrop. It was painful to even talk, but we engaged for 30 seconds in conversation. We had 30 seconds to catch up in 20 years for both of us. And I said, "Well, I married a great girl from Charleston. We've got two children." And he said, I got married. We had three. And then his face changed. And he said, "We lost our four-year-old boy." His four-year-old boy had died. And that was all the time we had. And we went our separate ways. And I looked back on that moment, that encounter, and realized that he encapsulated years of the history of his life into that one brief conversation. And the greatest defining moment of his life was the death of his four-year-old boy. A defining moment is an event that shapes us into who we are and what we are to become. A defining moment sets the course for the balance of your life. There is no greater defining moment in Scripture than Moses and the burning bush. Now, he had a history at that point. There had been some water under the bridge already in his life. But for 40 years, he had been doing nothing but hiding out on the backside of the desert, tending sheep from his father-in-law's flock. And on this particular day, it probably started out just like every other day had for 40 years. This was just one more day out of 40 years in the desert for him. It was uneventful, with no real expectation of anything happening to set that day apart. Maybe that's how many of us are today. You got up this morning, it's your regular routine. You got dressed, came to church because it's Sunday morning and your heart is right. You know God is worth your worship. And so you've come, but not really expecting anything eventful that would mark your life today. But it's early in the day and it might happen. That was the way it was for Moses on this particular day. No real expectation when he had an encounter with God, a burning bush experience. It became the defining moment of his life. Winston Churchill said, "There comes a time in everyone's life, a moment for which the person is born, a special opportunity that when he seizes it, he finds greatness, and it is his finest hour." There is that defining moment in each of our lives, and for most of us, we have more than one such moment. The New Testament equivalent to the Moses defining moment, Moses seeing the burning bush, would be the Apostle Paul, when his name was Saul, and he was going about his business, evil and did not know it, persecuting, torturing, and killing Christians. He had a legal authority from the government at Rome to do that. And he was about his evil business when he was stricken and he fell from his horse on the road to Damascus. We know that in the New Testament as a Damascus Road experience. It was such a transformation that his name that had been Saul was changed to Paul, and he became the great apostle that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. That was a defining moment. In the Old Testament, a defining moment for a man who was sick with a terminal disease. He was a leper. He was despised in his culture. Yet he was a man of authority. And it was unfair, perhaps, in his mind, why that somebody of his stature would have to deal with the stigma of this dreaded terminal disease. The law in that day required that he stay away from everybody. And if they got close, the law required that he would cry out, "I am unclean. I am a leper. I am unclean. Don't come any closer." The law required that he do that. And yet, the defining moment in his life that changed everything is when a servant girl that worked in his house came to him and said, "There is a prophet in Israel, and he can heal you." And that piqued Naaman's interest. And as the story played out, he got an instruction from the prophet, indirectly, to go and plunge in the muddy waters of the Jordan River 7 times. And the word of the Lord to him was, "When you come up out of the water the 7th time, you'll be cleansed of your leprosy." Now, it wasn't an immediate definition to his life because he wrestled with that instruction. Sometimes our head and our heart just can't get on the same page. Sometimes we're so smart we realize, well, if that's what the Lord's saying, that's foolish and that's ridiculous and I don't think that's good. And so we may miss out on a defining moment if our heart doesn't win over our head. But in Naaman's case, he finally obeyed the prophet of the Lord and his leprosy was healed. That instruction from God was a defining moment for him. In the New Testament, Jesus was in ministry. He had a few followers at that time early in his ministry, which quickly grew. One day he walked by a tax collector who had set up shop on the sidewalk with a sign out, and he was mafia, he was evil, he was corrupt, he would steal your money. He lined his pockets by fraud and embezzlement. He had the right to take from your wages whatever he wanted to take. And he got rich because of it. And he saw Jesus walk by And his defining moment came with two words when Jesus looked at him and said, "Follow me." And he closed shop and started following Jesus. He became a disciple and followed Jesus for the next 3.5 years. A defining moment for him came with two words, "Follow me." In the New Testament, there's a woman who was sick. She was hemorrhaging and for 12 years couldn't stop the bleeding. She had gone to every doctor and had gotten the best medical attention of her day. She had gone to every doctor and had spent every dime she had. She was now sick, 12 years sick, and bankrupt. But the day came when she had her defining moment, when she heard about Jesus. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, and I quote, "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment." Her defining moment, after 12 years of hopelessness, depleting every avenue and resource for help, every doctor, all her money gone, but finally, she was at the right place at the right time when she heard about Jesus. And immediately, she started saying the right thing. And that's a component to a defining moment most of the time. She immediately began saying the right thing. She said, "If I can touch his garment, I don't need him to anoint me with oil, lay hands on me, cast the devil out of me. I don't need him to spend much time with me. In fact, he doesn't even have to notice I'm there if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment. I will be healed." And sure enough, her faith made her whole. She was at the right place at the right time, and she realized after all these years without a defining moment, and as hopeless as it looked now, she realized, "I have never had a moment like this. I've never seen a window of opportunity open for me like this one." And that was for her a now or never moment. Defining moments are that way many times. You seize it immediately or you lose it forever. There was another woman in the New Testament that had a defining moment. For her, it came in the center of town at the well. And it was the place where all the men came to hang out in the middle of the day, some for good reasons, some not so good. But she stood out from the crowd at the well. She was a fixture there every day. You would find her there. She had a water pot in her hand. It was not so much for hauling water. It was her excuse for being at the well to meet men. One translation calls her a man-eater. She would devour men. To say she was promiscuous is an understatement. That was the kind of woman she was. She had that reputation, but her defining moment came at that very well one day when Jesus was thirsty and had gone out of his way from point A to point B so that he could give this woman a defining moment. And it worked for her. She was never the same. Just one encounter with Jesus brought definition to the rest of her life. And now, and for the rest of her life, she's no longer known as the woman who's at the well in the middle of town in broad daylight to pick up a man. Now, and for the rest of her life, she's known as an evangelist, telling everybody about Jesus. Why? Because of a defining moment, that one event in her life that marked her and set the course for the balance of her life. Then there was a man who was lame. He was born that way. And the Bible says that for over 40 years, his life was reduced to nothing, but his parents would take him to the temple gate. They would do it in the morning and leave him there all day, and he had a cup, and he would rattle a coin in the cup, and he begged for a living. and he played on the sympathy of the religious people that were coming into church every day for prayer at 9 a.m. And there was this lame man begging for 40 years. He was lame and could not walk, and he was a beggar. But all it took to change everything for the rest of his life was one defining moment, a divine encounter. That moment where the common encounters the divine and their life is changed forever. Peter and John walked by and saw that, and he was a fixture. Every day they saw him. That's something I pondered before is, you know, Jesus was in and out of the temple. That very temple in Jerusalem on a daily basis. Jesus, the Son of God, had walked by this man and had not healed him because it wasn't his moment. Until Peter and John one day walked by that man that had been there all those years and the man begging for money. And they said, "We don't have silver or gold to put in your cup. We don't have what you want, but we have what you need. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible said that man jumped up and began leaping and praising God. And strangely, that defining moment for his life changed him from being lame and a beggar. I don't know which would be worse, but when you're both lame and a beggar, his life was changed forever. And that was one thing that got the disciples in trouble. They were taken before a court of law to be prosecuted for that good deed of healing that lame man. But the many times Jesus had passed by him before, wasn't his moment. And you may think the same thing. Here you are begging, perhaps. Here you are lame. You can't stand up. You can't walk, perhaps, spiritually. And Jesus has been by you many times, yet it wasn't your moment. Well, it may not be your turn, but it is your time. It's your defining moment. A defining moment works like this. When you die and they write your obituary, they will lead with this moment. That one moment in your life, perhaps more than one, that defined who you are, that brought definition to your life. Not all obituaries begin well, such as the case with Richard Nixon, one of the presidents of the United States. But read any biography about him, and the lead statement will be the president of the United States who resigned from office in disgrace. That was the defining moment of his life. Sometimes it's not fair, but it is a defining moment. When they write your obituary, what will they lead with? Will it be good or will it be bad? What is the defining moment so far of your life? And the most beautiful defining moment is when those of us who are simply common, nothing special about us at all, encounters the divine. We meet God somewhere for a moment that changes our life. For Moses, it was that burning bush experience. God got Moses' attention so much so that when God called his name, Moses stopped everything and said, "Here I am." The secret to a great life is in our ability to discern our defining moments. And most of us have more than one. Some are natural. Some you can expect and see coming. The day we're married, the day we choose a college major and a career choice, the day our children are born. Some moments in life define us, and we have a choice in the definition. But then there are some moments where God surprises us and gives us an opportunity to be marked with purpose and destiny. Jesus cried over Jerusalem. He cried and wept because he wanted to encounter his people with a moment like that. Many times he wanted to offer them a defining moment, but they would not have it. Jesus cried because the Bible says they did not know the time of their visitation. Don't let that be our story. Well, Jesus passed by, but he had come and gone before I even knew he was in the room. Or it could be even worse. You may miss your moment altogether, and once it's gone, you can't retrieve it. Some moments are that way. How close are you to your moment? Do you expect it? Will you recognize it? Will you seize it? Or will you let it slip away? Jesus wanted to offer many defining moments, but in many cases he could not because of the unbelief of the people. The unbelief. That's the opposite of God's economy. God works by faith, and so do we. Unbelief is the lack of faith, the denial of faith. Unbelief is not doubt. Doubt is the middle ground. Faith is over here saying, I believe God can. I know God can. I believe he can and he will. That's faith. Unbelief is the opposite extreme. That's I do not have faith. Doubt is the middle ground. Doubt is that area that many times can be honest. Maybe so or maybe not. The jury's still out. I'm not convinced quite yet. Jesus offered himself for many defining moments and was rejected because of the people's unbelief. Unbelief in the New Testament is described by three conditions. Number one, they were not convinced. Number two, they did not agree. And number three, they didn't even try. Unbelief, not convinced, didn't agree, and did not even try. Listen, when your moment comes, seize it, work with it. And Jesus talked about the progression of the kingdom of God. We don't inherit it all at once. First it's the ear, and then it's the corn, and after that it's the full corn in the ear. There's growth, progression. At one point, John the Baptist said, the kingdom is near at hand. And then Jesus said, you are not far from the kingdom. And then finally, Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. So there's a progression, but it begins with a defining moment. It's like the treasure hidden in the field. You talk about a defining moment, and I talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. That revelation explodes in my spirit. The man who's a common laborer, he doesn't own the field. He's working for somebody else, probably minimum wage. Every day he gets up, a dead-end job. He's in a rut. He knows nothing else. This is the only skill set he has. He can obviously do this well. He's kept the job for quite a while now. And he knows that field very well. He knows where every stump and every root is. He knows where the rocks are. He knows where the anthills are. He's worked that field for a living for quite some time. And in the very same field he's been working all of his life, suddenly he had a defining moment when he realized beneath his feet all this time was a treasure. It's been hidden. And when he discovered the treasure, which I believe is our destiny and our purpose, he was already in the field. And he stumbled upon purpose and destiny. And it was so valuable to him, the Bible says he went and sold everything he had so that he could buy the field just to get the treasure that was in the field. That was a defining moment for him. Now, it had been under his feet all that time. He had been near it all that time. But suddenly, it was a discovery. And that was his defining moment. His life was never the same. Have you ever wished you could discover something like that man that was so valuable that you'd be willing to sell everything you have in order to purchase your discovery and to see it developed to its fullest potential. That's a defining moment in your life. Little David facing the giant. That was his defining moment, and I'm sharing so many quickly, so many different biblical illustrations and examples of how diverse defining moments can be. They may never be duplicated. What is yours is not mine. What is mine may not be yours. They can happen in so many different ways, but for David, he saw a giant standing in front of him and everybody else afraid. But he realized his God was bigger than that giant. And he realized, this is my moment. When my obituary is written, they will lead with this experience. My obituary will say, David the shepherd died today, best known for attempting to kill Goliath, and David was slain on the battlefield. Or his obituary would say, David died, and he is best known for killing the giant Goliath when all of Israel's army was afraid to take him on. Sometimes, as our defining moment approaches, we have that opportunity David had to realize, this is now or never. This is my moment. The Bible says he hurried and ran toward the giant. Everybody else in the army was running away from him. It wasn't their moment, but it was David's. And he hurried and ran toward his defining moment. He said, this is my now or never moment. Closing in Mark 10. Beginning at verse 46, the New Living Translation says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? My, anytime you hear the Lord ask you that, get ready for a moment. A moment that will define. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Here's a man that could not see, but he could hear. Hearing right now, in this moment. Hearing right now, in this moment, is more important than seeing. He could not see, but he could hear. The Bible does not say, if any man has an eye, let him see. Jesus said, if any man has an ear, let him hear. Take heed how you hear. And this blind man heard Jesus was in the crowd. And he realized, this is my now or never moment. I've never had this opportunity before, and if I don't seize it right now, I will never have it again.